Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. We'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment or two. Let me just say this, that if you're a lady and you haven't registered yet for the lady celebration coming up in a couple of weeks, we urge you to do so very quickly. There's some sign-up sheets on the back table as you leave the door on your left. Get one of those and get it turned into the church office. We'd appreciate that so very much. We're upwards passing 85 ladies that have signed up to be a part of that, so we're excited about that. So that usually means about 100 or so will probably be there with some walk-ins that come in the door. And so we have some special speakers lined up, some great skits, and of course, Jonathan, the caterer, has some wonderful food for you. I think we're having beanie weenies and cabbage rolls, amen, something like that. So you come be a part of that, and you just have a wonderful, wonderful time for that ladies' celebration. Doing things a little bit different tonight, but different again doesn't mean wrong, it just means different. I can remember Jonathan told me the other day that he was somewhere doing something and someone said, listen, we're going to do something different. And immediately he said, Pastor, your saying came to my mind. Different doesn't mean wrong, it just means different, amen? And he said, that really helped me because I was a little unsettled about the different things that we were going to have to do. But different doesn't mean wrong, it just means different. So tonight, we're going to be reading in just a few moments, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verses 1 down through verse number 8. I want you to know that love is a very important word. Without love, the thrill of living is almost gone. Without love, the warmth of our home is gone. Without love, the usefulness of our churches is gone. And I don't need to remind you that the Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love. As a matter of fact, just not in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. In Psalm 36, in verse number 7, the Bible says this, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Miss Gail, there's an alternative verse for your lady celebration verse right there. In Ephesians 2, in verse number 4, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And then I'm reminded of 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8 where John writes, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not God, for God is love. Well, we see that God is love, but then notice love gave us the gospel. You see, this book that we call the Bible literally is God's love letter to you and I. As a matter of fact, this love letter is written in red. It's written in the crimson blood of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross even demonstrates love. Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then one of my favorite verses of all the Bible, Romans 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth or demonstrated or showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And this was manifested or showed or demonstrated the love of God towards us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. I'm thankful for these three verses that demonstrate God's love for us. I'm thankful that I didn't have to love God first, and then he loved me. You know, that's the way it happened. As soon as Diana saw me, she fell immediately in love with me, amen. And it took me a little while to come around to it, Brother Spencer, but eventually I did, amen. And, you know, I wasn't saved all the time, and Diana and I were together, and I asked her to dance, and she looked at me while we were dancing that very first time. She said, I'm going to marry you. And you know what my response was? My response was, you are. She said, yes, you are. Well, about 6 months later, I asked her to marry me. She was a prophetess, and I didn't even know what one was then, amen. But God was in control of all that. I want to remind you that Sharon Baptist Church will only be as strong as the love bonds of our marriages are and our love we have for each other as being born again brothers and sisters in the Lord. So having said that, then let's stand this evening as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. If you need to know where Ecclesiastes is, just find Psalms, turn right a couple books, and there is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, we'll read down verses 1 through verse number 8, but we're going to hone in just on the first part of verse number 8 for the message this evening. And then we'll pray, we'll think on this thought of a time to love for just a few moments. The Bible said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. It's not talking about football season. I know football started yesterday. I understand the college football. Anyhow, that's the real football. Verse 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. And notice in verse number 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening, Father. We love you, Father, because you first loved us. And all our unrighteousness and all our sinfulness and all our wickedness and all debauchery. And even, Father, after we were saved, Father, and all our rebellion against you and aligning ourselves with the world, the flesh, and the devil, Father, you still love us. And, oh, God, we're so thankful for that. Father, I pray now that there is a time to love. And, Father, I pray for the next few moments. You help me, Father, as I preach and teach this message, Father, that there is a time to love. So, Father, we pray that you'll be honored and glorified in all that we say and do during this service and the fellowship time to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. As we think about a time to love for the next couple of moments, I want you to notice, first of all, a time to love says that love is God's plan. Love is God's plan. Since the creation of a man, it was not good that man should be alone. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Understand this, that after the completion of creation, including the creation of man, for the very first time, God saw something that was not good, and it was man's aloneness. So I thought about this verse, just jumped out to me this week as I mulled over this passage of Scripture. And, we would say, as us, it's not good that I'm alone, but Adam didn't say that. It was God. And God said it was not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. You see, after God created the creation, the Bible said it was good. But after he created man, speaking of man and the creation, the Bible said it was very good. But here, God said it was not good that man should be alone. God never intended for man to be alone. I do know that Paul in the New Testament encourages those who are single, if they desire to stay single, to be single. I'm not speaking against what Paul has said for us in the New Testament Scriptures. But God never intended for man to be alone, either in a marital sense, but specifically as well in the social sense. For someone to say, I don't want to be around other people, there's something wrong with that. God created us to have fellowship with him. He created us to have fellowship with other people as well. And marriage has a civilizing influence on our world today. Just think about it. Some of the history's most wildest, most violent, psychopathic in the world have been single people. And normally they're not married people. Sometimes they are. But most of the time they're single people, single psychopaths that kill people and are violent and murder people. So as I thought about that, I began to see maybe God knew what he was talking about when he said, man, it's not good for a man to be alone. The creation of Eve was to result in not only love, but also in marriage. And Eve was made from the rib of Adam, right taken, right next from his heart. And since she probably was the most beautiful woman in all the world that was ever been created, no doubt that's why Adam called out after she was made and named her, "Whoa, man," after he first saw her. You see, God's plan was not only for love, but it was to include the first marriage as well. You know, love would move the man to leave his father and his mother, as the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24. And then the Bible said, and cleave unto his wife. And then the Bible said, and they shall be one flesh. So we have leaving, we have cleaving unto his wife. And then we have the weaving as they come together as man and wife. And this close relationship would be a picture of Christ and his church found in Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to read those verses to us in Ephesians chapter number 5. If you'd like to turn there, you're more than welcome to Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. The Bible says, beginning in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also so loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without a blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own body, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself." Remember, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote this in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4. He says, "Marriage is honorable in all." Well, not only does a time to love say that that love is God's plan for a man and wife, but notice, secondly, we find a time to love says this. It says that love should be expressed. Love should be expressed. You know, husbands ought to love their wives as much as Christ loved the church. We read that verse just a few moments ago in Ephesians 5 in verse number 25. You know, when you think about expressing our love, God has really given us so many different ways in which that we can express our love to each other. We can express it, first of all, by our words. You say, what words? How about these words? "I love you." Saying those words and then meaning those words is a whole different story, amen? We ought to say those words but mean those loves as well. And we can express our love sometimes by our looks of love, as our eyes really convey the affection that we have one for another. Well, we can express our love by taking time together. You say, how do we spell that? T-I-M-E, spending time together. I think sometimes in the business of my life, Diana says, "I just want to spend some time with you." "Well, what are we going to do, honey?" "I don't know. I just want to spend some time with you." I said, "Well, come pull a chair up next to my study while I study for the Wednesday message. We'll spend some time together." She says, "I don't think so. Come up to the living room, spend some time with me. Let's go for a walk. Let's clean the house. Let's do something together." Spending time together, amen. Just recently, she said, "You know, since you lost a couple of pounds, David," she said, "your arms are getting kind of flabby. You need to go to the gym with me." I'm like, "That's not kind of time I'm talking about, amen. I'm getting Mark to go with you. I'm not going to the gym." But you know what? I told her, "I'm going to go, Mark. I'm going to make the time, and I'm going to go with her. I'm going to watch her just sweat her little patukas off, and I'm going to sit around, amen, and work on my arms or whatever she wants me to do." Spend time. That's what it's about. We spend time together. We show our love and express our love by responding to affection instead of turning away from those we love. I know oftentimes, you know, boy, when you first get married, there's a lot of turning towards each other, amen. But it just seems to happen that after time, we sometimes turn away from each other. Not on purpose, so to speak, but we just get used to things and used to people. And we change a little bit here and a little bit there. And so we need to respond to affection instead of turning away from it by showing our love. And then I think we show our love and express our love by physical communication. We touch, we kiss, we hold each other's hand. We put our arm around their shoulder as we walk through Walmart. You see, lovers need to take the time to express their love to one another. And listen, it makes no difference whether you're a married lover of 18 or 69. You need to show that love to one another. There should never be a day when a husband or a wife feels unloved. Now, I know sometimes it happens not on purpose, but it really should not be a day when we feel that way. Well, not only does a time to love say love is God's plan for a man and a wife, not only should our love be expressed towards one another, but I want you to notice lastly, and then we'll be done, that a time to love says love is for a limited time. Love is only for a limited time. He's saying, is my love going to wane? Is my love? No, I'm not speaking about that. I'm not talking about falling out of love. Because you know what? When you commit to someone, love is a commitment. It's a commitment for a lifetime. And I do understand and believe that God does give several reasons for divorce, but that's not his plan for man and wife. But he allows it because of the hardness of man's heart. I understand that. I'm not putting anyone down. That's been divorced. I'm simply saying this, that wise lovers understand that their time together on earth is limited. So this year, Dinah and I will be married for over 41 years. 40 years. We've been together about 41 and a half years. And so, you know, our time together on this earth is winding down. I hope we have 40 more years, but that's probably not a possibility since I don't go to the gym with her and work out. I'm probably not going to live another 41 and a half years. But the truth of the matter is our time is winding down, and we ought to understand that. We ought to think about that. I thought about this. How many widows or how many widowers long to get back some of that precious time that they can express their love to their spouse who has passed away and has already gone off into eternity. They would love to have another day, another hour, maybe just another 30 seconds to say, I love you. Hold them and tell them how much their love meant to them. You see, we need to seize the opportunities to express our love. And if we just look for those opportunities, they'll abound in your life. They're there if you'll just look for them. We mustn't waste any time arguing, calling each other names, and fighting and bickering. Our houses should be a place of fellowship, not a place of fighting and feuding. I think too many times there's more fighting and feuding than there is fellowshipping. I think if you go back to the leave, weave, and cleave principle from Genesis chapter 2, it would be a help and a blessing to you. Listen, we don't have time to hold grudges in our family relationships. We don't have time to harbor unforgiveness. We don't know how long that we have. Some people could testify to this fact that their loved one was here one day and gone just quickly after a very short illness. A wise lover grabs the moments and squeezes the life out of every moment that they have with each other. I'm not talking about squeezing their neck either, amen. I'm talking about squeezing the joy and love and fellowship and friendship with one another. We could say this, take the time to stop and smell the roses. Because one day, guess what? The rose is going to pass on and be gone, and there'll be no more smelling of those roses. They never stop withholding their physical affection for one another. Sure, it's not going to be the same when you're first married at the age of 21, and the physical relationship might change with your age as you get older, but there still ought to be some form of physical love and touching with one another. I don't know about you, but I desire to be a wise lover to Diana all the days that God gives us. I don't want to be an unwise lover. I want to be a wise lover. Well, as we close tonight, how will you express your love to the one that you love tonight? Don't let the day get away without expressing that love to that one. The Bible said there's a time to love. A time to love tells us that love is in God's plan. A time to love says that love should always be expressed. And thirdly, love is for a limited time. God has expressed his love to you and I by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. If you have never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you this evening before you leave this building to take the time and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Father, and we're so thankful for this passage in Ecclesiastes, Father. It's a famous passage in your word, Father, that basically tells us that there's a season and a time for everything. But Father, as you close out those verses, verse number 8 says, there's a time to love. Oh, Father, we thank you for the time to love. And I pray, Father, and ask that you would be a help and a blessing to your people. Oh, Father, as they think about this and a time to love. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and be a help to your people. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand.